And so I want to share with you just a few minutes this morning about how missions ties in and is intertwined with evangelism and our series that we're going through entitled Sharing Your Faith. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 6, that's kind of where we're going to be this morning. And we're going to spend just a few minutes there in Isaiah chapter 6. I had pulled my marker out of my Bible for some reason. I don't know why I did that. Give me time to turn there with you. Isaiah chapter 6. So one thing we need to understand and recognize is that we are on mission every day for the Lord. He's commissioned us. He's commanded us to share His Word with those who we come in contact with daily. When I ask you this question, who comes to your mind? What person in your life do you know could benefit the most from coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Which person is that? I guarantee you every one of us had a name pop into our mind. It could have been a family member, co-worker, neighbor, friend. I don't know who it was, but every one of us had a name that popped up in our mind. You know, if that's the name that popped up, that should be our mission this week. How can we follow Christ's command and commission to go and share the gospel with that person? You know, He's told us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And as I said earlier, evangelism is wrapped into the cornerstone of our faith and our service for the Lord. And it's the key aspect to our Christian walk, whether that happens in our hometown or in foreign countries like Belize. We have learned that the gospel can be shared in many different ways. We can share the gospel through verbal conversation. We can share the gospel through lifestyle evangelism, or as we go, or how we live. We can share the gospel through written word. We can take the gospel and we can write it out and we can present it in a letter or in a text message or in an email or a Facebook post or Instagram post or anything like that. You know, God has given us many ways to share the gospel. But I do believe it's important that as we share our faith through these very different styles of evangelism, that this morning we're going to look at what it takes to truly be active in living out this commission and command. Folks, we want to be very intentional this summer to give you tools and to give you the gospel through God's Word so that you can have it wrapped in your mind and your heart, and it'll be on the forefront that when you go into the workplace or you go into the extracurricular activity of your child's life or your life, that the gospel presentation is on the tip of your tongue. It's right there waiting to be told. And you know, we see this in Isaiah chapter 6 kind of played out. And I want to spend a few minutes there reading that. Isaiah chapter 6 says this in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. And with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And He said, 'Go and tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of His people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed.' Then I said, 'Lord, how long?' And He answered, 'Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, but yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be more consuming, and a terebinth tree, or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be in its stump." There's so much here in this passage that we don't have time necessarily to really get into the depths of it. But the basic lying principle of what's happening here is so important to us as we go forward in sharing our faith. And it brings out an attitude. It brings out a heart mission that each one of us should have. We should be encouraged by Isaiah to be willing to share our faith at any moment throughout our life. We find Isaiah in this passage. He's in the presence of God. He describes for us the throne room of heaven. He gives us a glimpse into the majesty and the awesomeness and the holiness of God. We see the angels are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." And if you ever get a chance to kind of do a deeper study here of what these angels look like, I would encourage you to go and even just Google that. What are the angels in Isaiah 6? It's a really cool picture. It's a really cool understanding of who is there crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And they are in an unending worship of God. Isaiah shares with us his immediate feeling of unworthiness and more importantly, his uncleanliness. Could you imagine being in the presence of God as the sinner that we are and saying, "Oh my goodness, we are seeing God worshiped. And I find myself a sinner in the presence of a holy and perfect God." You see, we don't have to imagine that much because we know the sinfulness that we have, right? We know the creation that we are. We know that God loves us enough that in spite of our sin, as we've learned in Romans, it tells us that there was a gift given to us in spite of that sin. That Christ laid his life down for us in spite of that sin. God wants worship and wants to be reunited with his great creation. You and I. You know, when we look at this, as he continues to describe, Isaiah shares those feelings. He knows the wickedness of the people. And we see the grace of God granted to Isaiah as he is atoned and made clean. We're given the picture here of what salvation truly does for us. We're understanding that our sins must be atoned, that we must have somebody take our place, that we must be made right and pure before the Lord. And he's showing us that picture of what happens when Jesus was put upon the cross. And when he bled for our sins, and he was taken off that cross, he was placed in that tomb, and he rose 3 days later. We were seeing what it takes to be saved, to be purchased, to be atoned, to be made right. Man, it's so astonishing to me that a holy God would desire to send his own son to take a place of you and I. You see, he doesn't want to give us what we deserve. He doesn't want to put us in a place called hell for the rest of our life. No, instead, he wants for us to have relationship for everlasting and everlasting with him in his presence. And so as we see this, we're made privy to a conversation that God begins to have with those in the throne room. God has a message for his people, and he needs a voice. And the Lord asked, "Whom shall I send? Whom will go for us?" Can you imagine all that is going on within Isaiah at this moment? He is in the presence of God. He's in the awe of his Creator. He's moved with passion for his Redeemer. He's ready to worship and be used in service to his Lord and Savior. And there's four statements in this passage that we read that will allow us to have a clear picture of the heart and the attitude of one who is on mission for the Lord. That first statement we said is this: "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" God speaks this aloud. And this is a question that has been asked by the Lord to every believer. I want you to understand that once we have been atoned, once we've been made right, once we've been purchased by the blood, once we've given our life to Christ, listen, he asked these questions of us as well. "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" The Lord needed someone to deliver his message. Isaiah is listening. The question is this morning, are we listening? Because he's still asking this question. And he continues to desire his people to share his message of grace and forgiveness and salvation. Romans 10, 14 and 15 says this: "How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who is bringing glad tidings of good things."
The great question, who's supposed to go on mission? How are the people in Belize supposed to hear? How are the people in Dunsmuir supposed to hear? How are the people, Youthville and Blake, how are they supposed to hear? Except that someone be sent. And folks, he's not talking to paid pastors here. He's talking to his people. And saying, listen, we have a responsibility to go forward and to share the gospel until the ends of the earth. You know, when we look at this, we go, wow, the message of the Lord must go forth, and specifically the message of the gospel. So here's the second statement we see this morning. We see the first one, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And then there's an immediate response from Isaiah. And his response is, here I am, send me. Here am I, send me. I want you to think about that for a second. In spite of everything that's taking place in that throne room, Isaiah only hears this question. And the question that he hears, he gives an immediate response to. The Bible doesn't say that there's a break in, or a thought, and we'll talk about that in a second. He simply just says, me, I'll go, send me. His response is wrapped in joy. It's wrapped in passion. It's wrapped in gratefulness. It's wrapped in urgency. It's wrapped in love and grace and truth. And it's wrapped in willingness. His answer wasn't, Lord, can I have some time to pray about it? His answer wasn't, Lord, how about in 2 years? No, Isaiah's response was immediate, and it was a passionate response. Listen, it's a response that should come from any of us who've experienced the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You know, let me make it very clear right here. Isaiah did not know the nature of the mission God had designed. Remember, he had only heard the question. He didn't know the responsibility of the mission. He just knew the question. He didn't know where the mission was going to take him. He didn't know the content of the message or the difficulty of the task that was to be accomplished. But Isaiah immediately volunteered to go anyway. He didn't make excuses like Moses. He didn't make excuses like others had in the past. He simply, gladly, joyfully volunteered to serve the Holy God. How many times, this is a great question. I loved asking myself this question. How many times have I responded immediately to the question of God without asking any questions myself? Not very often. Not very often. But I'm learning here from Isaiah that there are responses that when God says, whom shall I send? The response can be immediate and filled with joy and willingness. You know, this is such contrast to our response to the Lord today, right? There are many times when we meet someone who's new to the faith, and they have a genuine passion about sharing what God has done and the transformation that's taken place in their life. They want to go out on visitation. They want to go out and knock the door. They want to just go tell somebody, listen, Jesus saved me, I'm a different person, and He can save you too. I mean, we've met some new believers over the last 6 months here at Grace. We've had people accept Christ as Savior, be baptized, and say, listen, what's next? And when you tell them, they don't ask the question, oh man, I don't know about that. You know, I've got 15 other commitments to the church that I have to do right now. No, they don't say that. They simply say, okay, what time are you going to pick me up? I'm just saying that you remember the freshness of the salvation of God in your life. You know, there are many people today who have been saved for many years who have the same response. When can we go? Right now. Let's do it. That's their passion. That's their zeal. There are others who stand and say, you know what? Man, personal evangelism is just not my thing. I'm going to tell you, personal evangelism is all our thing. We don't get it. We don't get an excuse or a way out of it. Folks, no matter how scared we are or how fearful we think it might be, God doesn't say, listen, go share your faith only if you're comfortable in doing it. He doesn't do that to us. He says, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to ask the question, who can I send? Who's going to go for me? And your response is to be saying, here I am. You know, I really appreciate the fact that God
And he doesn't care about my appreciation, but I appreciate the fact that God desires to use anybody that will be willing to go. Right? Like when we have sign-ups for mission trips or evangelism training or visitation, let me tell you, we don't show favorites and we're not biased. Anybody can sign up. Anybody. Know Jesus as Savior. Dude, check it off. You're ready to go. Right? We want people who love Jesus to be involved with sharing the story of Jesus. You know, Isaiah provides for us the heart and the attitude that should accompany our response when we hear the question. You know, all of a sudden, in just a few minutes after he responds, God then tells him the message. And I will say, Isaiah is not perfect in his response to the message. So, he's human, right? We're human. He does ask a question. You know what the third statement we look at this morning is? How long? How long? Now, I want you to understand, we can take this out of context and use it in the wrong way, and we don't want to do that this morning. You see, the message that Isaiah was told to give was a message of doom and gloom. The message of repentance, forgiveness, and grace had been offered by the Lord to the Jewish people over and over again, and they had rejected it over and over again, and now the Lord was going to allow their hearts to be hardened upon their choice of rejection. Isaiah wants to go and be used as a servant of God. He wants to go and proclaim the truth. He wants to go and tell about how loving God is and how forgiving God is and that repentance can be had. And God says, listen, you are going to preach that message. But in this moment, there won't be many who respond. There will be some, but there won't be many. You are going to deliver the message that my grace is being lifted. Guys, how scary of a thought is that? That the grace of God is removed. Does that bother your soul this morning? To know that there are loved ones that are dying and going to hell. And at some point, God is going to remove that grace. Now, I don't want to give you doom and gloom this morning. I believe there's a specific time that will happen. That's when Christ returns. So, God is going to allow people to hear the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Until that moment that he returns. Now in this moment, the message was simply, Isaiah, you're going to go and you're going to share. Guys, we don't know who's going to accept the message of Christ, do we? We have no clue who's going to receive it. But the question isn't, who wants to go if people accept the message? The question is, who wants to go and spread the message? Who wants to go and tell others about who I am? And he does that, and Isaiah says, here I am. And then Isaiah goes, for how long? And God says, our last statement, until the end. Until the end. You know, let me ask you a question. How many of us have asked the question, how long, God? God, how long will my family member reject you? God, how long will this world turn away from you and run from you, and reject you, and despise you? Have you found yourself asking that question before? I believe we all have a question of, God, how long until people see the truth and respond? You see, in this message that Isaiah was to go and share, God specifically told him, you share it until it's done, until it's ended. You and I get that same response. The last statement we see is until the end, and God answers Isaiah and tells him the message will be delivered until the end. The same is for you and I today. Listen, according to Luke 14:23, we are to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. We're to share the message of Jesus until the whole world hears, according to Matthew 24:14, which reads, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This morning, our heart and our attitude should be one that represents this passage in Isaiah. It should be the one that states, here am I, send me. I will share the gospel until the whole world hears. The challenge this morning is for each of us to examine our heart and our attitude in sharing our faith and presenting the gospel message to those around us. The point of the message this morning is not to bring guilt or to bring shame upon the church,
The point of the message is to allow God's word to infiltrate our heart. And if it brings conviction that we need to do it more, then we follow the lead of the Spirit and we begin to share the message. If we're sharing the message, the conviction's not there. If we're sharing the message and doing what he's saying, then we should be joyful that somebody else is speaking about the importance of going and saying, "Here am I, send me." Folks, I want to just encourage you as a pastor this morning that don't get wrapped up in your fear and your ability to do anything for Christ, because it's not you that has the power to do anything. It's not me who has the power to do anything. It's only the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us that we have the chance to accomplish any of this. And so if God has placed the Holy Spirit within our life, we can do it. That should excite you this morning. You are not the only one that's scared. I have told you time and time again, I get sweaty and just clam up when I know that I'm about to present the gospel to somebody who has rejected it in the past or to somebody I don't know. And you know, it's just like, oh, like, I don't want to be not liked. I really like to be liked. You probably know that about me. I really want people to say, oh, you're a great guy, you're funny, oh. I really do. But in the end, being a great guy and being funny doesn't send anybody to heaven. But in the end, through the sweat and through the clamminess and through the dry mouth, to say, man, all I can tell you is Jesus loves you and he died for you and he wants you to go to heaven. But man, you're going to have to humble yourself, repent of your sin, and give your life to him. And if you do that, he promises to save you today, and he gives you eternal life. And then your heart will be transformed, and you will desire to live for him the rest of your life. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within me, and the power of the Spirit that can live within you. Just gave the gospel message in 30 seconds right there. Then they can ask questions. That's great. God will answer those too. The challenge this morning is for each of us to examine our heart. Are we willing to daily say, here am I, send me? Not just to the weekend, the weekly mission trips or the yearly mission trips, but daily. So as we close this morning, I want to share with you a conversation that I had with our missions director. He's an elder here too, Nomar Tongo. I want you to listen to the excitement and the passion he has as he shares what was different about this mission trip to Belize than the ones he had gone on before. I want you to see if you can pick up on the source of joy. So take a look and listen and look specifically for the source of joy. So, did you hear it? Did you pick up on what brought Nomar joy on this trip? What was it? Did you pick up on what was it? Sharing the gospel. You see, Nomar, most of the time when he goes, he's the doctor, right? So he's got to be at the medical clinic, and he's got to do all the tests and all that, and he gets to talk about a little bit about. But it's hard to talk about Jesus when you got a stethoscope here and you're trying to listen to somebody's heartbeat. You know, that's tough. Nomar never really gets the opportunity in that medical mission to truly share the gospel and take time and then to follow up. This year, he got a chance to do that. And did you see the countenance on his face? It was, I got to share the gospel. They received the gospel. And I got to go back and talk to them about it the next day. Guys, that's the opportunity of sharing our faith that we get all the time. You see, medical missions and lifestyle evangelism and meeting people's physical needs, as we did in Dunsmuir, are excellent in serving our Lord. And they are needed and they are commanded in the gospel to go forth and to do that. But the truest form of all joy is when you and I take the opportunity to share the gospel face to face with someone. The joy of the Lord is the hope that lives within us. And that purest joy is sharing with others how Jesus changed our lives and desires to do the same with them. Folks, this series has been very intentional to challenge you to share your faith. And today was brought together for one reason. Not to brag on Grace Baptist Church because we go and do mission trips. We should be doing that, and we shouldn't need a pat on the back to go do it. But what we need to do is let people know what happens on those trips and the joy that comes with sharing the gospel and people getting saved and lives being changed. So this morning, are you willing to say, here am I, send me? Not necessarily to Belize, which I hope you'll do that one day. But are you saying, here am I, send me? As I go into the workplace tomorrow, I go into the community tomorrow, or when I go and eat dinner tonight with the server that's going to be waiting on me. Great question. How are we going to respond? Immediately and with joy like Isaiah, or with fear and trembling that's of the flesh? Let's pray.